The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us today. And, man, do we have a lot to talk about. I mean, a lot to talk about. We're going to get to President Trump in just a few moments. Some breaking news coming out of New York City. The judge halved the amount that President Trump has to pay in order to move forward with this bond. And we're going to get into more of that. I have a theory about what's really going on there, and it ties into all of these squatters that have been making headlines across the country. So we're going to get to that story in just a little while. Also, a crazy story involving a church that has decided they're not going to use words like resurrection or the blood of Jesus in their Easter Sunday promotion. So we're going to, no, I'm not making this up. This is unbelievable. But I want to start out with something that's just weird. And I don't know what's going on in the conservative world, but I want to start off with this this chaos that's happening with the Daily Wire. Ben Shapiro's organization, of course, he and Candace Owens going their separate ways, and Candace Owens is causing a lot of controversy by some of the things she's saying. There are accusations that she's an anti-Semite. It's getting very ugly, and this is not an amicable separation here. And I have not necessarily been a huge fan of Ben Shapiro. For one thing, I'm not a speed listener, so I've got to go back and slow it down when he's hello. Okay, slow it down a little bit, pal. All right, you got 3 hours. You can get it all in. That's just me though. But anyway, some of the things he has to say, I find somewhat I'm just on the other side of the aisle on. But anyway, there's this big controversy because she used a word or a phrase, "Christ is King," and I don't know what context she was saying it. I don't believe she was meaning to be mean with it. I do believe that Christ is King, Jesus Christ is Lord. As a Christian, you too believe that. And if you don't believe it, then you are not a Christian. Well, you could be like a Presbyterian. I kid, just the left-wing Presbyterians. I'm just joking. I don't want to take any calls from angry Presbyterians today. So anyway, the Daily Wire people are really enraged right now over the fact that Candace Owens used this phrase, "Christ is King," and now they're saying Jeremy Owens, who is the CEO of the Daily Wire, is now saying that using that phrase could very well make you an anti-Semite. Is that true? If you're singing the Hallelujah chorus and you get to the part where King of Kings and Lord of Lords, does that make you an anti-Semite? I don't think so. All that to say, there's something weird going on in the conservative movement right now, and we need to talk about it, because I have a couple of theories about what may be happening here. Actually, I know what's happening, but I'm curious to hear your take on this. So Jeremy Boring, they've been in the middle of all of this fight with Candace Owens. And look, here's my take on it. If these guys had such a problem with her, they should have gotten rid of her a long time ago. But they didn't because she has a massive audience and they're in business and they need that audience. So a lot of this is on them. Also, Candace Owens has an interesting story, and I'm not quite sure. You know, she gets a little squirrely every now and again. And I go back to her early days as a raging anti-Trump leftist. I mean, she was a literal leftist. And I still haven't understood exactly how she became a conservative. Nevertheless, the reason why Ben Shapiro became famous is because he talks super fast, and he also debates these, it's really not debate. He just yells at leftists, and people cheer. And I appreciate that, and I like what he does. So anyway, my question is, how is saying Christ the King anti-Semitic? That's the question. And so Boring actually, and this was something that Jason Whitlock asked on social media. He says, I'm asking this sincerely. I'm a student of life. I'm not that smart. There are many things I do not know. This is a sincere question without snark or sarcasm or trolling. How is saying Christ is King anti-Semitic? When did this become true? And so Jeremy Boring from the Daily Wire, the CEO, the head honcho, answers the question. He says, how is saying Christ is King anti-Semitic? It's the same way anything becomes anti-Semitic when it is used for the purpose of expressing anti-Semitism. It's like asking, how does a shovel become a murder weapon? When is it used to murder someone? This isn't hard. A shovel is not innately a murder weapon. Saying Christ is King is not innately anti-Semitic. Or anti-Semitic, it's all about how a thing is being used. He says, this is where the argument falls apart for me. Boring goes on to say, saying eat some cornbread is not racist if I say it to my three-year-old when she is refusing her dinner. If I start saying it as a response to X post by black commentators I don't like, it has taken on a meaning beyond what is innate. Really? No, I don't think so. I would disagree here. Now, if you said eat some cornbread, comma, blank word, okay, yeah, I get it. But saying eat some cornbread or eat collard greens does not make something racist. And I'm not sure that saying Christ is King, I mean, if you're saying Christ is King, comma, and you use a slur against Jews, okay. But I'm not seeing how Christ is King unless the issue is, and I suspect this may be the underlying issue, is that Mr. Boring is taking issue with the fact that there is only one way to get to heaven, and it is through Jesus Christ, who is King. So Boring's argument here is that anything that is used in commission of an offensive issue, whether it be, let's take the Klan. The KKK. They dress up in white bedsheets, right? They run around and they set crosses on fire and they wear white bed sheets. No, the gay clan does not wear floral prints. That's just a rumor, an ugly rumor. So you've got the Klan out there and they're wearing white bedsheets. So under this argument, that would make white bedsheets racist. Because the Klan uses the white bedsheets. That's the argument, by the way, the left makes on the Confederate flag. They say that the Confederate flag is evil because the Klan flies the Confederate flag. Therefore, the flag is now racist. So this is the argument that's out there. I'm just telling you. I'm just delivering the information to you. So I'm not sure where all of this is coming from within the Daily Wire organization. They've got to figure all of that out for themselves. That's what they've got to do. But for us, as a general thought, I have seen something that is very disturbing within the conservative movement, and it's sort of creeping up out. It crept up over the weekend. I was catching holy you-know-what from a lot of religious leaders, from a lot of conservatives because I was calling for Speaker Johnson to resign. And the reason was very simple. He is, first of all, no doubt about it, good Christian man, great family man, devout in his faith. But I got a big problem with the fact that Speaker Johnson signed off on a plan that would use millions of our tax dollars to fund abortion facilities that perform late-term abortions. Got a big problem with that. Got a big problem with the fact that Speaker Johnson signed off on a plan with the Democrats to fund a lot of these LGBT programs with our tax money. Big problem with that. Got a problem with the fact that as a result of this spending bill that he shoved through with the help of the Democrats and a minority of Republicans, that now transgender children will be able to go out and get clothing that they want without parental permission or notification. Big problem with that. Got a big problem with the fact that Speaker Johnson is out there now funding programs to help illegal aliens. And that's why I believe that Speaker Johnson should have stepped aside. He is clearly not a good leader. That doesn't mean he's not, that doesn't mean he's a bad man. It just means he's not a good leader. And now I'm catching all holy you-know-what from the religious evangelical crowd. How dare you? You're just casting stones. No, I'm really not casting stones here. We've been trying to be supporters of Speaker Johnson from day one. But his staff makes it very hard for that to happen. Very hard. Well, you shouldn't be attacking another Christian. Really? Really? Is that what we're going to do now as conservatives? We're not going to call out our own when they betray the base of the party? We're not going to do that? No, that's not me. I don't play that game. You may not agree with what I say, but at least you know where I stand on the issues. With Speaker Johnson, we don't know. He says one thing, does another. What does that mean? What does that tell you? And then I got a message from somebody, and they said, well, Starnes, what do you want? Hakeem Jeffries, a speaker? That's what you want, isn't it? You really want Hakeem Jeffries. Well, if Hakeem Jeffries becomes Speaker of the House, guess what's going to happen, Starnes? They're going to start funding the transgender programs, and they're going to start funding the illegals, and they're going to start funding late-term abortions. And, oh, wait a second. Wait, isn't that yes, it is. That's it. Right? So there's no difference. There's no wiggle room between Republican leadership and the Democrat Party right now, their platform. So at least with Speaker Jeffries, you would have an honest broker because you know where that guy's coming from. With Mike Johnson, you don't know where the guy's coming from. So anyway, I'm dealing with all of this over the weekend, and I got to thinking about something. Can the conservative movement work without Christians and without Christianity? You see, when I wrote Twilight's Last Gleaming, the concern I had and I expressed in the book is that we erase Christianity even from the conservative side of the ledger. When you look at the fight against communism, it is not a political fight. It is a religious fight. It's a moral fight, right versus wrong, good versus evil. But what happens if Christianity is not a part of all of that? Does it all unravel? Does the whole country just come apart at the seams? I believe it does. I mean, how many times have I quoted John Adams on this program? Our Constitution wholly inadequate for anyone other than a moral and religious people. And what I suspect is happening is that we are watching the secularization of our conservative movement. And that's one of the things that's happening at the Daily Wire right now. They may not even realize what's happening, but that's what's happening. And again, it's sort of this, we go through this process that's sort of cyclical, where you have all of these conservatives, and it's a flashy thing, right? It's a shiny new toy, and the conservatives, they jump on it, and that's what they have done in the past, and they still do it today, and it always fails. So every single day on this program, I bring you my thoughts and opinions. If you disagree, you can call in and you can have your say. If you agree, you can call in and have your say. But at least you know where I stand on these issues. But I'm curious, do you believe that the phrase Christ is King is somehow anti-Semitic? Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hi, this is Todd Stearns, and I want to update you on my Calitrin journey. I'm still losing weight. I'm also sleeping a lot better, and I've got a lot more energy. Calitrin really is about more than just weight loss. Here's my good friend Elizabeth from Calitrin.
Yes, y'all, spring is here. The warmer weather is upon us. And if you are still wanting to lose some weight, I'm talking about a little bit or maybe a lot, Calitrin can help you get there. We've been helping customers lose weight safely since 1997. So with Calitrin, not only do you get a product that has a huge 86% success rate with 90 days, but you also get a team of support too. So check it out on our website today, toploss.com. We've got a huge spring sale, discounts on every single month of Calitrin. It's not going to be a quick fix product, but it is proven. And right now, again, toploss.com has that big spring sale. That's toploss.com, or call us 833-TOP-LOSS.
And be sure to use that discount code, Todd. So now Andrew Klavan from the Daily Wire is attacking Candace Owens and says that she is wicked for, not wicked good. You know, there's wicked bad, which is actually good, and then there's wicked bad, which is bad. That's very confusing, but it's the Gen Zers. They're messing up the whole English language. So anyway, he says that she's wicked for using biblical scripture to promote anti-Semitism. And this is a headline from Mediaite. Daily Wire host condemns Candace Owens and Christ the King anti-Semitic crowd for using scripture like Satan does in the Bible. What? This is nuts. This is beyond insane. And the only reason we're talking about this, I know a lot of you folks use the Daily Wire, you read it, you send me stories that you see in the Daily Wire. And you need to be aware of that something is not quite right over there. So now they're equating using the term at the Daily Wire. They're saying that using the term Christ is King is like when Hitler burned books. no, I'm just, I don't know. He's calling her comments a dog whistle. Now, I don't know if Candace Owens is anti-Semite. Has she said so? I've gone back and read, and I mean, I guess some of this stuff is really weird and bizarre. I don't know if she's an anti-Semite or not. But clearly, they had a bad working relationship over there at the Daily Wire. I know a lot of people that worked there and left and didn't want to talk about it. Anyway, last fall, Owens, in the big dust-up with her and Shapiro, said you cannot serve both God and money, and so they equated that as anti-Semitic. So basically, anything, I think here's how it works at the Daily Wire. Anything that might remotely be directed at Israel, whether it is or not, is anti-Semitic. And I guess, according to the Daily Wire CEO and Andrew Klavan, I mean, if you believe that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that could very well make you an anti-Semite as well. Do you see how nonsensical all of this is? And I'm telling you, this is not coming from the left. This is not coming from the New York Times. It's coming from the conservative media world, the so-called conservative media world. So there you go. It is what it is. All that to say, you know, we're doing our thing. I believe that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I am a devout, passionate supporter of the nation of Israel. That's my view on it. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Agree or disagree. Had a great time over the weekend. We posted some photos from our visit with Governor Mike Huckabee. I was on the show this weekend promoting Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? By the way, we hit number 4 on the Amazon bestseller list for conservative and liberal books. Got some bad news, like Rachel Maddow's number 2. So we need your help No, she's number two on the list. I know she's number two, but she's number two on the list, Dylan. And so we would love for you to go and get a copy of the book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? If you want an autographed copy, head over to toddsterns.com, and I will sign one for you. Just click on our store thingy. What's it called? Button? All right, we're going to come up with a better word for that. Just run it by Daily Wire. Make sure we're not anti-Semitic. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Hi, I'm Todd Stearns, and thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. So call 855-417-6556 right now or go to toddsterns.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've already pledged to raise $17,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to toddsterns.com or call 855-417-6556 to make your best offer right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. It's just a weird, weird week. I'm just telling you. Fair warning here. It's just a weird week. So over the weekend, I got a message, and someone said, you're not going to believe this. Have you heard about Elevation Church? Now, this is one of those super mega churches based in North Carolina. And they franchise the church kind of like, I don't know, Burger King or something. And except this is the King of Kings. Oops. Anti-Semitic again. Ted, got to watch that. And so anyway, they've got multiple site locations. And what do? They beam in the preacher. So Elevation Church, they're getting ready for their big Easter Sunday services. And we are too at my church. We're very excited about that and getting ready. Of course, this is Holy Week, and you typically invite people to attend church on Easter or Christmas. That's typically when the average American goes to church. Based on that, by the way, President Trump is actually above average in church attendance. So good for you, Mr. President. So anyway, they were doing an interview, and I was listening to KWAM this morning as I was driving in to the news bunker, and Ben Dieter was talking about this, how all of these churches, you know, back when I was a kid, and it's so true what he was saying, when I was growing up, you had a pastor and a minister of music, and you had, if you were lucky, you had a youth pastor, or the music guy was the youth pastor, which was kind of hit or miss. Because then you were forced to participate in youth choir. So anyway, that was it. But now you have like a minister of engagement. You have an executive pastor, a pastoral care pastor. You have a TikTok pastor and an Instagram pastor. I mean, it's just pastors out the wazoo. And I'm not saying, I'm not casting judgment. I'm just saying there are a lot of different pastors out there. And if you've been on TikTok, yeah, they probably need a whole staff of preachers. There's some freaky stuff going on there. So anyway, they interviewed Elevation Church. They have a digital content creator pastor. And so she was doing an interview, and she was explaining that they're not using words like resurrection or the blood of Jesus or Calvary in their the hill on which Christ was crucified. They're not using any of those phrases in their Easter promotional stuff. Cut number 11.
I'd love to hear about, like, what are you specifically tackling for Easter right now? Like, okay, this is going to be a bigger service for most churches. What are some of the things that you have to get your, you know, ducks in a row, as it were, in respect to Easter?
The mission of Elevation Church, we exist so that people far from God will be raised to life in Christ. That's our mission. And so this particular biblical event of Easter is tied directly to our mission. And so that's so important to us. And so when I think about how I'm going to talk about Easter, I'm thinking about talking to people far from God. So because that's the thing that matters most to us. And so, so just to like give you just like a teeny bit of a glimpse, I'm talking all the way from people who have been in our church for years, and I want them to invite people to church, all the way to people who've never heard of our church before and trying to get them to come to church, right? People who are unchurched, you might say. And so how do I talk to those two people are really different. But I'm putting a lot of my focus, energy, time, resources toward what I would call the cold audience, as people far from God. And so I'm not going to say the word Calvary. I'm not going to say the word resurrection. I'm not going to say the blood of Jesus, right? I'm not going to say any of these words that make someone feel like an outsider. This is really important. An important guiding principle for how we develop language is anyone can be a part of our church. It might not be for everyone. Oh, everyone might not like it, but anyone can come. You don't have to understand what we're, you know, any fancy language. There's not any prerequisite to be able to come here. And so when we're thinking about such a like steeped in tradition holiday, like Easter, and how we talk to someone who's not steeped in that tradition and how we get them to connect to it and come to it, that's really important to us.
All right. So a lot to unravel here. That would sort of like, I guess, be taking the leprechauns and the shamrocks and the beer out of St. Patrick's Day, I suppose, in case there are people that don't celebrate, or taking, this is insane. So the whole point, it's all about marketing. You got to market Jesus. And they're saying, and this person is basically saying that words like resurrection and the blood of Jesus are dirty and offensive. I mean, that's really what they're saying here. So they're basically pulling a bait and switch, I hope, because I'm wondering, is any of this weekend about Jesus at Elevation Church? I'm just curious. And this is one of the largest churches in America that's doing this. And so I'm wondering what their ad would be like. So I crafted a radio spot for the people at Elevation Church. Hop on down the bunny trail to Elevation Church for a wicked Easter extravaganza. Pastor Steve will deliver, his name is Steve Furtick, by the way, the pastor. Pastor Steve will deliver a 3-point sermon on why we shouldn't put our eggs in a basket. And we'll be wearing a Bugs Bunny costume. Plus, you'll get your bunny worship on. Wiggle those tails with our Gen Z worship band, runners up at the 2022 Regional American Idol auditions. It's true. You know it's true. Again, I've seen this. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of churches around the nation are downplaying what Easter is really all about. Then there's the other extreme, and I do have a funny story about this, but this would be the other extreme here, and some churches do this. They really want to play with your emotions, and could you imagine the other alternative, like, I don't know, a heavy metal, you know, Easter pageant? It's Megadeth Sunday at Elevation Church. 60 minutes of blood-curdling mayhem. The Crucifixion, set to a heavy metal soundtrack, performed on stage by our in-house thespians. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Guaranteed to scare the hell out of you. A nursery is provided. I'm just saying, what's wrong with the Easter story? I think all of this started when The Passion of the Christ came out and everybody started dumping the passion plays. Oh, we can't be as gruesome as Mel Gibson. I mean, I get it, but at some point you do present like the message of Easter, right, to the unchurched visitors, right? I mean, why not just be upfront with people and honest? I mean, and look, I get it. It's an ad. It doesn't have to be a theological dissertation. But at some point, visitors need to be made aware that the blood of Christ is the price that was paid for their sins. Anyway, and if you don't, then what do you get? I mean, you basically get a self-help sermon accented with some snazzy graphics and maybe a so-so cover band. Let's go to Ed in North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. Ed, what do you make of all of this?
Well, hey, Todd, long-time listener. Really appreciate what you do and what you're doing out there. I was telling the young lady, I have two schools of thought on that. It's almost both sides of the coin. You have to catch your fish before you clean them, all right? So the message, if this is the first time somebody's hearing about what the Easter message is and what all is involved with resurrection blood of Christ, it may be too heavy for them. But if you can invite them in, let the fellowship, let the people love on them, and let them see, wow, this is a big group of people together for this specific reason, I think you're going to get the people that the Holy Spirit's been working on, whether they know them or not, to stick around and get the message. And if not, it doesn't matter how you present it, you're never going to bring those folks in anyway. So I can support what they're doing if they're comfortable doing it. But like you said, let's not, by taking the X in Christmas. You know, no, it's Christmas. It's not Xmas. But you got to be smart enough not to offend people with it either. So I don't know. That's kind of a wishy-washy answer. I apologize for it.
No. Don't apologize, Ed. I understand the marketing aspect of it, but let's just, I mean, to your point, I mean, if you're going to invite, let's say you're trying to get kids to come to youth group, are you going to put out like, you know, instead of like, oh, come to volleyball, you've got a bunch of bikini clad women on a beach, you know, spiking balls. I'm not sure that's the kind of message. I'm sure you'd have a good turnout at youth group, but I'm not quite sure that's the message.
That's true. It is about marketing, and you want to be a little bit on point with your marketing.
All right, Ed, appreciate it. Thank you. So, folks, is the church doing the right thing here? I mean, is this the answer that we've got to really dumb down what we do to get the message out there? Does your church? I mean, a lot of churches now, they're like little mini malls, right? They've got, you can go get a smoothie at the King of the Juice. Freshly squeezed. No, it's just true. They do. That's King of the JUI. Never mind. All right, I got to take a break. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Just a reminder, this is it. We're coming down to the wire here, people. The annual Alliance Defending Freedom Radiothon ends in just 5 days, and this is it. This is the week to pony up the cash, people, and we need your cash. Yeah, I feel just like a church. Pass that offering plate around the radio. ADF tomorrow, ADF heads to the Supreme Court once again. They're going to be arguing against Food and Drug Administration's dangerous decision to ignore safety standards for abortion pills. And ADF is fighting for you and me all the way to the Supreme Court. That's why there is a Stand With ADF banner on toddstearns.com. You can help me support ADF with a donation. Your gift, whatever you can contribute, will make a critical difference. I want you to go right now to toddstearns.com and make a gift. We'll be right back. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for your continued support. And to thank you, they have an overstock clearance sale right now for the best prices ever when you use the promo code STARNS, and you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0 and the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived. Won't last long, folks. Get a 6-pack towel set for only $29.98 and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items like mattresses and mattress toppers. 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything goes on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels. They absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, so much more. To get the best offers ever, go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 and get free shipping on your entire order while supplies last. Welcome back. By the way, Isabella Brown, she is a TikToker. She weighed in on this Elevation Church story, cut 16.
So they're specifically going out of their way to avoid using words like Calvary, resurrection, or even the phrase the blood of Jesus, because we don't want to make someone feel uncomfortable or like an outsider. This might be a really uncomfortable opinion for some people, but we're supposed to look at Jesus on the cross. We're supposed to be uncomfortable seeing the nails in his hands and feet. You're supposed to understand the totality of torture and suffering he went through to even be nailed to the cross. Because that's what he was willing to do for each and every one of us, to lay his life down for our sins.
All right. Well, there you go. Amen, sister. That was impressive to hear from a younger American about what's going on here, because I guess this is the whole thing about Christianity these days. You don't want to offend people, and you know, you got to feed everybody the ice cream. You can't give them meat and potatoes anymore. You gotta tickle everybody's fancies there, if you will. Oh, by the way, Dr. Mrs. First Lady Jill Biden has now figured out what World War II was really all about. And by the way, it was not about the Germans invading Poland. It was also not about the Japanese bombing Pearl Harbor. No, no, no. The First Lady of these great United States says that World War II was really about the Nazis. By the way, and it was not about the Jews being shipped off to these gas chambers. No, no. It was about attacks on the gay community. Cut 27.
History teaches us that democracies don't disappear overnight. They disappear slowly, subtly, silently. A book ban, a court decision, a don't say gay law. Before World War II, I'm told, Berlin was the center of LGBTQ culture in Europe. One group of people loses their rights. And then another, and then another. Until one morning you wake up and you no longer live in a democracy.
By the way, did you see how she marginalized the whole 6 million Jews getting slaughtered? Did you notice that? Folks, this is disturbing stuff. Joe Biden talking to the Human Rights Campaign, which is an American-based hate group, and they hate Christians and they hate straight people. The Human Rights Campaign, and boy, do they hate me. The things they have said about yours truly, very inappropriate. Anyway, so Joe Biden says unless we get that pornography back in the public school libraries, we're going to be facing World War III. All right, let's go to the phone. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Billy in Tennessee. Hi, Billy. What's on your mind?
Hey, man. I just want to say my hat goes off to this church that's trying to reach out and reach this new generation of people by not using our old church words and things like that. If you just be introduced to Christ, you know, because these people are considering are under such different thought patterns than what me and you were brought up with, you know. We were taught that right was right and wrong was wrong, men were men and women were women. But now they've got all these other options, all these other alternatives that they're being told is okay. You know, we know it's not, but they're being told this, so they got all these other options. So just to reach out and introduce these people to Christ in a different way, you know, if the Holy Spirit calls them, they're going to find out about the blood of Christ and the resurrection and all that, what he did for us on the cross. But if you don't ever get them introduced to Christ, then they're not going to have a chance.
Well, I hear where you're coming from on that. I do wonder, though, where do you draw that line? You know, where do you say, okay, well, these are church words and we shouldn't use these words. We should turn our church houses more. They should look more like nightclubs or theaters than churches. Where do you draw that line at, Billy?
I say you sow the seed. You show the love of Christ around the world. You let the Father worry about the harvest. We sow the seeds.
No, I hear you on that. I can go either way, but I know a lot of churches, they fired the choir and they, you know, got some hot looking chicks up there in short mini skirts to, you know, wiggle around and sing about Jesus. And I guess, you know, I mean, if that's going to reach people, I guess, you know, go for it. But I don't know. I don't know.
I think you ought to have, you know, lines and stuff on what's morally correct and things like that. But, you know, if you're a man of facts, and if this church is actually a Christ-believing church, Christ followers of Christ, then pull the stats. See what percentage of people they're baptized, and that's the percentage of the churches that we're accustomed to are baptized. And, yeah. And let's go with the facts.
All right. There you go. Well, all right, Billy. Look, I appreciate the call. And I think there may be more people out there that disagree with my viewpoint. I'm not a prude. No, I'm. By the way, one time, Dylan, this is great. Easter Sunday, the worship band, one of the gals was wearing this little short white mini skirt outfit and didn't realize that when the lights hit it, guess what became see-through? But again, praise the Lord. It's welcome to modern church, I reckon. I don't know. Yes, back in the day, it is true, and Billy is correct. You know, back in the day, the old days, back in the 70s and 80s, you know, people came to church because not because of the band, but because of an invitation. Hey, why don't you come to church this morning? Hang out with us. We'll treat you to lunch afterwards. There you go. It used to be that simple, really. It did. All right, hang tight. We got a lot more coming your way. Congressman Scott Perry is going to drop by. Your calls as well. Also, New York City Councilwoman Vicky Palladino. We got some big problems in the Big Apple. We'll be right back, everybody. Stick around.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. By the way, Marjorie Taylor Greene, very upset with Speaker Mike Johnson. And still doubling down on her decision to file a motion to impeach the Speaker of the House. Cut number 9, please.
Do you really think that there's someone who can get 218 votes to become Speaker of the House?
I certainly hope so.
I mean, it was so hard to go the last time. You're going
to
go through.
It was hard to go the last time, but look at where we are now. They just passed a funding bill that doesn't secure our border, does nothing to stop the daily invasion. This budget funds full-term abortion. It funds DEI. It funds trans ideology on our youth as young as 12 years old. We're already in crisis. So
is this the fight you want to have in an election year?
Absolutely. It's the fight I want to have in an election year because, damn it, I want to win that House. I want to win the White House. I want to win the Senate. And I want to restore this country back to greatness again, back to safety, back to security for every single American, because right now we don't have it. And that's the fault of Democrats and the Biden administration.
Congressman, you were against this when it was.
All right. So there you go. Marjorie Taylor Greene is doubling down. Now, do I think this is the best time to have this debate? No, not at all. But I do think it is the time to have the debate. And if the Republicans are now going to say that we support the funding of late-term abortion facilities and transgender surgeries and programs for illegal aliens, don't you think that the voters deserve to know that information before we go and cast our ballots on Election Day? Don't you think that we should know that? But there's something else going on here, and we touched briefly on it last week. I want to know who is feeding Mike Johnson all of this information. He's making a lot of bad decisions. Who is he listening to? And I contend that he's listening to people like Paul Ryan, the former Rhino anti-Trump Speaker of the House. Paul Ryan, who sabotaged Donald Trump's agenda and legislation when he was in charge. That's who I think is running the show. That's who I think is giving Mike Johnson all of this bad information. I have the hiccups. But that's what's going on here. And it's not good. It is not good. I think they're trying to sabotage Donald Trump's presidential campaign. That's what I think is going on here. By neutralizing the House of Representatives, which is supposed to be controlled by Republicans. Don't forget that. It's supposed to be controlled by conservatives. But yeah, I think now is the time to make those decisions and to have those arguments. Because right now, the Democrats are running things. And I got a big problem with that. What say you? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, there's another component of all of this. I'm just not coming out and speaking out the wazoo to this great audience. If you've noticed, there has been an effort afoot for certain Republicans to announce they are not running for re-election or resigning their post in such a way that we will not be able to get replacements. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that we are precariously close to just flat out losing the Republican majority up on Capitol Hill. And of course, the latest coming out of Wisconsin late Friday, Mike Gallagher announcing he will leave Congress early. But because he's not leaving Congress now, and there's a reason why, because if he left Congress now, there would be time to replace him. But he's waiting until the point where that will be impossible to do. Cut number 30.
What Mike Gallagher did yesterday was intentional, purposeful, and puts our entire majority at risk. I think he should be expelled preeminently before he's allowed to just walk out of Congress at a date of his choosing where his district doesn't get to replace him until next Congress. I think that is completely wrong. I think people should be able to have a voice. His district deserves a voice in Congress, and we should expel him, and that way his district can replace him as quickly as possible with a special election. Our majority is too important to throw away, and the horrible, dishonest and completely irresponsible actions of many in our Republican majority have led us to where we are. When people leave early, it's a math game. They're the ones that put us at risk of losing the majority. Every member that leaves early puts us at risk of losing the majority. Expelling Republican members for a Democrat to control and take over the seat like they did to George Santos puts us at risk of Hakeem Jeffries becoming the Speaker of the House. It's not me putting in a motion to vacate like a pink slip, letting Mike Johnson know that his speakership is over, and also informing our entire conference that we need to come together, move forward, and start the process, and no matter how long it takes, to decide who our next speaker is going to be, one that the American people will trust, and one that will not do the bidding of the deep state and the CIA and the continued effort to destroy America. So that's where we're going from here. And this process may take a while, but I think it's the most important. Yes, painful. I don't care how painful it is. If you want to lead this country, you better get ready to be uncomfortable and get comfortable being uncomfortable, because we have a job to do. And our job is to save America. And that is not an easy task.
All right. Again, this goes back to sabotaging and efforts by Republicans in name only, rhinos, to sabotage Donald Trump. They want to hamstring this guy as best they can. And that brings us to what's happening today in New York City, where President Trump just a few moments ago reacted to his bond being reduced to $175 million. It's still an outrageous, insane, un-American, and unconstitutional thing that has happened to this man. Now, there will be people out there saying, oh, well, and the Democrats are out there saying, oh, Trump's getting special treatment. Really, even the New York Times now acknowledges that all of these real estate prices, all of these real estate valuations, are subjective. All of them. That's why you had CNN coming out just the other day and acknowledging that Mar-a-Lago is worth a whole heck of a lot more money than Judge Engoron actually said. So my question is, why aren't all of these people being arrested? Why are all these people being charged with fraud? As President Trump said, we are fighting crooked Joe Biden, who is the worst president in our country by far. And he's absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. right, Trump was walking out of the press conference after this judge's ruling in New York City, and one of the reporters hollered out, "How are you going to pay for it? What are you going to give up? Mar-a-Lago? Trump International?" No, President Trump turns around and says, "Cash." He's going to pay cash. Good for you, Mr. President. Don't take anything off these people. All right, welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us Vicki Palladino. She represents District 19 of Queens on the New York City Council. Vicki, good to have you back with us.
Hi, Todd. Good to be here. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well. Vicki, I want to start out. There's a story in the New York Post that caught my attention this morning, and it involves the owner of Junior's. And I actually used to live, my apartment building was literally right next door to Junior's in downtown Brooklyn. So I would eat meals there pretty much on a pretty regular basis. And the owner is very upset at city leaders, and he is saying that the way the city council has handcuffed police and the fact that you guys are, or the city council is turning a blind eye to crime, is really making it hard for him and other business owners to stay in business.
Well, now that's going on 2 years, isn't it? Because the city council I sit with took office. We won our elections in 21. We took office in 22 January. And all we have done is watch their progressive left-wing liberals take this city down in so many ways, a crime, of course, being on top of the list, you know, followed by migrants, which also could tie in with crime. And we could just go down a very, very long list about this is probably the worst city council the city of New York has ever been in the hands of. Yes.
It's unfortunate, and we see the crime play out in the national news cast. We hear about it. But the one story that has really caught a lot of people's attention is this poor woman in Queens who got arrested. She had squatters taking over her home. And I know you had a press conference.
That's around the corner from my office, Todd.
Oh, my God. This is insane.
Yes, it is. It's insane. What we've done is we're looking at people who are squatters / scammers. And that story that particular lady, Adele, is going through was a house that she inherited. Her mother died a number of years ago. She inherited the house. This guy took over. Now, let me explain something to you. This is three prongs. So he went in to the house. He took it over. And then he and the guy he took it over with subletted, went to a legal, legitimate real estate agent in the North Flushing area and said they had a basement to rent. So he took the rights of the woman Adele's home because she was there for longer than 30 days. He then goes to a legitimate real estate broker who thinks he's dealing with the owner of the home, whereas he rents out the basement. So the scammer / squatter is making money off of Adele's house that she cannot even get into. Now, as far as what happened last week with the police arresting her, they first, because they did not want to do that. Let me make that very clear. They did not want to do that to the homeowner. But she did what was called an illegal, now by New York terms, an illegal eviction. What is an illegal eviction? An illegal eviction is when the homeowner, who has every right to their home and knows that it's being taken over by these squatters, she goes in and she changes the lock on the door, the front door, so that they cannot get in. With any normal person would have done exactly the same thing. The squatter calls the police. She had ABC News there, and they took her out after consulting because they didn't want to do that because they themselves could not believe how ridiculous this law is, that they actually were told by their legal department, the New York City Police Legal Department, they said, "I'm sorry, but you have to take her out of her house." So they changed the locks back to the squatter's lock and took Adele out. Gave her a desk appearance ticket, and that was it. Fast forward to Friday of this past week, somebody called a bomb threat in on Adele's house. So the legal tenant, who had no idea he was renting from squatters, had to leave as the squatter left, and he turned it into, a renter room sort of a thing. So this guy was renting the house out. Insane.
So Vicki, is there anything that you guys can do as far as property laws in New York City that will actually protect the property owners?
Yes. Well, this very progressive city council I sit in, they have what's called the 30-day law, right? So what does that mean? 30 days means that you are considered now a tenant. You are not a squatter, you're a tenant. So any squatter could tell the police that I've been there for 30 days or more. What I am looking to do is I am going to introduce legislation, okay? I'm working on it. It's got its number already. Whereas I am looking to extend that 30 days to 60 to 120 to as much as 180 days so that the squatter / tenant cannot say, because I'm living here only 30 days. It will give the owner of the property the rights to their house. How ridiculous is that? The fact that this is even happening is insane. The owner owns the house, Todd. If you own your house and you see people in your house that don't belong in your house, you tell them to get out, right?
Well, you would think so.
If they call the police, and they tell the police he's lying, I'm here for 30 days, and they don't even have proof. There's not even a lease or any sort of document that the owner, co-signed when you rent, a lease. They don't even have that. The police order you, the owner, out of the house. It's become what we call squatter's rights, which is insane. Then we have another state law that is by upstate New York, which they have what's called the Fair Tenants Act or whatever it is. I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry. And what we're trying to do is I'm going to introduce a resolution calling upon the state legislation to pass the governor to sign A6894, which I won't I'll bother you with the numbers, so that it would change it at the state level to 45 days. Either way, it's a lose-lose for the homeowner.
Well, all I can tell you, Councilwoman, is that in the state of Florida, the Santa Rosa County, the sheriff down there, holding a press conference, and he said in Santa Rosa County, if you've got somebody breaking into your home, they actually prefer that you shoot the bad guy.
I know. I thought that was so great. I mean, honestly, when it gets, let me tell you something. New Yorkers have been extremely patient with so many things on a downward spiral that we have had it. And the majority of New Yorkers are tired. They're tired of crime. They're tired of migrants. They're tired of putting up with this nonsense called squatters. Now, let's remember about that woman who put the cherry on the cake here, that poor woman who came home from a four-month vacation or visiting friends in Spain. Did you hear about her? And she was found in a duffel bag in her Upper West Side apartment.
Terrible story.
Yes.
Terrible.
By her 19-year-old son. And the squatters, they finally did get them, but they were 20-year-old illegal immigrants.
There you go.
Okay.
Vicki,
okay.
I hate to do this, but we're going to have to wrap it up. The computer's going to cut us off, but we appreciate you standing up for we appreciate you standing up for the homeowners there in New York City. Folks, can you believe this story? This is absolutely insane. By the way, just happened in Georgia, an elderly black man and his wife kicked out of their home by squatters. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Can I tell you about our friends over at Patriot Mobile? They are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. And I got to tell you, Americans, I think, have had enough of supporting companies that hate our values. And that's why so many people are switching over to Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile, by the way, is an example of putting the cause ahead of profits, which is why I am proud to partner with them. They offer dependable nationwide coverage. You get access to all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. Go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT or PatriotMobile.com. Get this, folks. Now, listen, you get your first month on them free of charge. That's right. But you got to use the code SPRING24. So you're going to be able to get your first month of coverage free of charge. All you have to do is use the code SPRING24. Make the switch today. Go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd and use that code SPRING24. All right, let's go back to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Cody in Georgia wants to weigh in on the church that's not using the word resurrection and its Easter promotions. Hi, Cody.
Hey, good to be on here. And I appreciate you letting me have my say on this.
Let's get right to it, Cody. We don't have a lot of time, so let's just jump into it.
I think that it's completely wrong when you start leaving Calvary, the blood of Jesus Christ and resurrection out of your church. You are completely wrong. The Bible says that we must be born again, and that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I ain't going to heaven on my righteousness. I'm going to heaven because of his righteousness. People need to make sure that they've been born again, and because I'm going to heaven, the reason I'm going to heaven is because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because he died, because he resurrected.
Yeah, but you can't say that, Cody. No, sir, you can't say that in the modern church. You might offend people.
I know. Yeah, that's why in today's time, and I'm going to be quick and I'm going to be done, we need the men of God to get up behind the pulpit that's truly been called by God to preach like there's no tomorrow, brother. And we need people. If you ain't preacher, you need a lay member, it don't matter who you are, we could all get down on our knees and be praying and asking God to help us and to save these lost sinners, because we got a bunch of people that's trying to be a preacher, but they ain't even been called by God. We got churches talking about Jesus, don't even know who Jesus is. And when you start, and when you stop calling him Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and refusing to call him the King of Kings, buddy, you better get in an altar and check up, make sure that you really got what it takes. And I know people don't want to, you know, they don't want to make people feel like an outsider, and that's what that Elevation Church said. From what I understood, they didn't want to make people feel like an outsider. But, buddy, had I not felt like an outsider when I was lost and undone up in Hayesville, North Carolina, at Faith Tabernacle Holiness Church, I felt like an outsider, but Jesus come by. He saved my soul.
All right.
And then, and amen to that, buddy. I felt like an outsider. But had I not felt like an outsider, I don't believe I'd have ever gotten saved. So,
well, look, Cody, well, I appreciate you calling, and thank you for that. And again, I get it. I understand exactly what he's talking about here. But it's like, if you, here's what I don't get, because these are the same people. Let's say that you're driving down a road and all of a sudden you realize, holy cow, the road has collapsed. There's no road there. So you get out of your car and you're like waving your hands and you're jumping up and down and you're trying to get people to stop so they don't go over the edge. But these people would actually be there saying, hey, they're waving at you. How you doing? Have a nice day. You may want to reconsider another path. No, you want somebody that's going to be saying, stop, danger. And that's, for me, that's what the church is. It's at least that's what it used to be about. But now church is about being insular. You know, you've got your church, and it started with the gyms. So you've got the churches now, and they have the gymnasiums, and they have the coffee shops and the cafes, and there is not a single thing wrong with all of that. But the problem is it turns the church into something else, like a mall. A mall that is tax-free, by the way. So imagine being, I've often thought about this, and I do think a lot about this as the owner of a radio station, where my tax dollars are funding the competition over at NPR. And you kind of feel bad for, right, for the coffee houses that are located directly across the street from the churches. They've got to pay taxes out the wazoo, but the coffee houses in the church don't. I'm just telling you, that's just the way it is. And it's all kind of weird. And don't get me wrong, I like the worship bands. I don't have a problem with that, but you and I both know that it's more so about guitar riffs than it is about anything else. All right, 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. This is from Frank Luntz. And Frank Luntz is the longtime pollster. Used to see him all the time over at Fox. And we're going to get back to the calls in just a second, but I will play this audio. This explains a little bit about what happened today when they cut the amount that Trump owed this bond, which will prevent Letitia James from seizing his property. And here's the reason why. Cut five.
To remember this moment, and don't forget it. If the New York Attorney General starts to take his homes away, starts to seize his assets, it's all going to be on camera. Pundits are going to sit there and scream about this. This man cannot be elected. You're going to create the greatest victimhood of 2024, and you're going to elect Donald Trump. If they take his stuff, he's going to say that this is proof that the federal government and the establishment and the swamp in Washington and all the politicians across the country and the attorneys generals and all of this, that this is a conspiracy to deny him the presidency. He's going to go up in the polls just like he went up every single time they indicted him. The indictment, let's not talk about whether it's justified or not, but it will prove the things that he's saying on the campaign trail, and he will go up, and it may just elect him president. Do not forget that. And I say this to the Attorney General right now. If you play politics on this, this is what the Secretaries of State did in Colorado, what they did in, I believe, is Maine. His numbers went up in both states.
Well, he's not wrong about some of it. By the way, he's also Kevin McCarthy's ex-roommate, Frank Luntz is. Look, here's the deal. The truth is that they are attacking the president and that everything that they have done to him is illegal. And one day he will be exonerated. I mean, it's happening in drips and drabs. But one day Trump will be completely exonerated because he's done nothing wrong here. So Luntz got that part of it wrong, but the reality is that Donald Trump, the reason why the people are embracing Donald Trump is they see him as the best and only shot we've got at stopping the communists. This is why I wrote Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Donald Trump is the only person at this juncture of American history in the world of politics who understands what is going on and has the man parts necessary to stop it. He's the only one. If you know of somebody else, let me know. But to me, he's the only guy. And the American people see that. The silent majority. The people that are too busy working 9 to 5, taking the kids to soccer practice, mowing their grass, trying to live their life, claim their American dream. They see it. And they see it every single day. And they see what Donald Trump can do. And they understand because he's done it once before. He's the one man who actually delivered on his campaign promises. You do not know how distraught, how discouraged I was last week to see those Republicans sign off on that spending bill. It felt as if, and there was one lawmaker in particular, it just felt as if they were just stabbing the American voters in the back. But it wasn't even that. They were stabbing us right in our hearts in front of us. You put your hope in these people and say, okay, hey, look, I trust that you're going to do this. And then they turn around and they stab you in the back every single time. And people are getting sick of it. So much so, just hear me on this. If you asked me, I think that we're on the verge of seeing a split in the Republican Party. I just don't see how the average American and the average conservative, and especially the average conservative Christian, can continue to support the Republican Party. I just don't see that happening. You say, well, what about Trump? Well, Trump is really not a conservative. He's a populist, but he's also not really a Republican. After the Trump years, and I believe Trump will be reelected in the fall, after that, I don't think that we've got a viable Republican Party left. They've screwed over the American people so much. At least with the Democrats, you can trust them. You can't trust a Republican. All right, let's go to the phones real quick here. Daniel, North Carolina. Hi, Daniel. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah. Earlier, you had spoke about, you know, and I know this goes across the board, Christianity and stuff, but Holy Week. Well, I don't find anything in the Bible about this being Holy Week any more than last week or next week. It's like Christmas and Easter. They're great, but I don't find it in the New Testament or the Gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay, so what's your point? What point are you trying to make? Are you saying that all of us who believe celebrate Holy Week or commemorate it are evil, sinful people, bad people?
No, because even the Scripture says one person holds a day in higher esteem or higher worth than the other. And it makes no difference to me or to you, to anyone. Some people hold up Halloween more than they do Christmas or Easter. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying there's no scriptural bearing for it. And it's like Lent.
So what's your point? So what is your point here, Daniel?
My point is it's not scriptural.
So
man-made.
So do you want us to do away with it, Daniel? Is that what you're saying? That
No.
So what are you saying, Daniel? What's your point?
Okay. My point is, where you worship or where the majority of Americans or Christians worship, who's the head of your church? Who founded it and who paid for it? You know, where you worship, who's the head of your church?
Well, Jesus Christ.
Thank you very much. But you know how many people would say, well, it'd be John Brown or James Smith or something.
I have no earthly idea. But what is your point? I'm trying to help you get to your point.
My point is that the majority of Americans and Christians, for that matter, are totally confused and totally ignorant of the actual word of Jesus Christ. That's my point. It's the Pope. You know, soap on a rope, as far as I'm concerned, or some other person who...
What religion are you, Daniel?
I'm Christian.
No, what religion? What church? What kind of a church do you go to?
Well, that would be called a denomination, but I go to the Church of Christ.
Oh, you're a church. All right, so it's okay for you to you just insulted all the Catholics that are listening to us, so you're okay just, you know, smearing other religions like that?
No, I'm not smearing other religions. I'm trying to make the point is...
I'm trying to get you to make that point.
Well, so if you read the Bible and your minister or your whoever you put on a higher platform than your knowledge is on about...
You're making a lot of assumptions here, Daniel.
No, I'm not. I'm from talking to people all over North Carolina, all over the East Coast, wherever. It's just amazing to me what I hear about Jesus Christ, or what I don't hear about Jesus Christ. I hear about something that a man said or a woman said.
Okay. All right. We're getting so far in the, I have still don't understand what your point is. So are you going to be commemorating Easter Sunday at all? Good Friday?
I will go to the worship service like every Sunday.
Okay. All right. Very good.
I'm not going to go chase eggs or anything like that, you know, whatever, but.
All right. Daniel, appreciate the call. Thank you. Wow. 901-260-5926 is our number. I'm still not quite sure what the point was. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back. Good to have you with us. And what a great weekend in Nashville. Had a book signing there in Murfreesboro, which is a suburb of Nashville. Had a great time. And then Friday night did the taping of the Huckabee TV show and had a lot of good laughs. What a fun audience. And you can watch that. Go online and watch it if you would like. We've posted some pictures of the interview and greatly appreciate Governor Mike Huckabee giving the book a great plug. And thank you guys for getting out there and for being a part of the book. You know, we're sort of a grassroots effort now that, you know, the big guys, Fox, will not be promoting the book. And I get it. That's fine. But we need your help in doing that. So get on social media, invite people to go and get a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And we are happy to, I'm very happy to autograph a copy for you. If you go to our store, toddstearns.com, click on the store and you'll be able to purchase a copy of the book there. We are also heading out. So this week, it's Holy Week. And so we won't be doing traveling, but next week we're going to be doing events in Los Angeles, Phoenix, and then Wichita. So all of you great KQAM, the Big Talker listeners, get ready because we're coming to town for some big book news and just a terrific event. And we'll be telling you more about that here in the coming days. By the way, Shanklin's weighing in all this. I got to read this to you. And if I can get my stupid password to work, geez, hello. All right, here we go. Welcome to the old school Church of Christ. Growing up, we had Christmas sermons saying that Christmas should not be celebrated except for Santa Claus. And, of course, Easter wasn't a holiday in the Bible either, but that did not mean we didn't have chocolate bunnies. So, yes, we could believe in Santa and the Easter Bunny, but we couldn't mention them at church. I'm a Baptist. We do it all. We've got, all I'm saying is don't take away the Cadbury eggs. That's all I'm saying. Don't take away the Cadbury eggs. By the way, I don't know what it was like for Easter around your household, but Grandmother Starnes used to make all of the outfits for the grandchildren. And so that was typically when we all were wearing the same, we looked like a Southern Gospel singing group. Everybody was wearing the same clothing, including like plaid three-piece suits. That was classic 70s. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. Scott Perry coming up, our friend the congressman from Pennsylvania. Your calls as well, 901-260-5926. Stick around. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Great to have you with us, everybody. I hope you're doing well today. By the way, I want to say thank you to Monica Crowley. Had a great time as a guest on her podcast. Also, the Rita Cosby Show on WABC. Both ladies inviting me on to talk about the new book called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And you can get yourself a copy wherever you buy your books. A huge thank you to Barnes & Noble. We've been told the book is in every single one of their stores across the nation. So thank you for that. Books A Million. Also, we're going to be doing some signings at Books A Million. That information is coming up as well. But if you want to get a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming right now, all you have to do is go to toddstearns.com, and I will personally sign you a copy there. Just click on our store tab, and we'll make sure that happens. All right, a lot happening up on Capitol Hill. A lot of very frustrated conservatives after last week and that debacle with the spending bill. Let's bring into the conversation Congressman Scott Perry from Pennsylvania. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Well, Todd, it's great to be with you. And quite honestly, it's great to be out of Washington thinking about the resurrection of the good Lord, because I'll tell you, the only thing that was resurrected in Washington, D.C., was the good old days of John Boehner and Paul Ryan. And look, there's only so much of that a person can take, whether you're working in Washington, D.C., or whether you're watching it from, you know, your home far away from Washington, D.C. It's just it is painful to endure.
Well, no doubt it's painful for us to watch. It's been awful, to be honest with you. And I think what really got me is Speaker Johnson. He was a regular on this show. Then he becomes Speaker of the House. All communication is cut off. We're being told that we're not the only ones. Even members of the House Freedom Caucus have been told they really don't have much interaction with Speaker Johnson anymore. I'm curious, Congressman, do you know who is giving him this counsel and guidance?
Todd, I don't know. I don't know what happens to these guys when they ascend the ladder of leadership, especially to the speaker's position. Now, to his credit, the speaker, Mike Johnson, did come to the weekly dinner, the Freedom Caucus dinner, and he spent about an hour and a half with us last week. And I got to tell you, that's, you know, other speakers have never done that. They have worked against us every single step of the way. You know, the problem is that if you're accused of being a conservative, is there ever any going to be any evidence to prove that you were? And in this case, you know, it's one thing to say it, but it's wholly another thing to do it, right? Because as we say in the hillbilly land of South Central Pennsylvania, talk is cheap, right? And, you know, there's an old saying that, you know, that money talks and bullcrap, yeah, that walks. And so we're looking for the proof of this conservatism, which is now, you know, the left describes as radical. You know, the support of the Constitution is radical, and this willingness not to bankrupt the country is somehow a radical concept. Well, we went over $34 trillion in debt between December and January. We're going to be at 35 in May. We're clipping off $1 trillion extra borrowed, printed, conjured up dollars every 100 days here now, 100 to 120 days. The country simply can't sustain financially this pace. And as importantly, the policies that go along with it. The only thing we have left, the only leverage we have is as members of the legislature is the money. And if we're going to keep on paying for things that we are objectionable to, the left is just going to keep purchasing those things with the money that we allocate to them. So, I mean, it's just a complete slap in the face of the taxpayer.
So I want to jump in here. I have so many questions about this. So there's a lot of anger now because apparently tucked away in all of this, a 1,000-page bill, there was a new rule that says you're not allowed to fly the gay pride flag outside any government buildings, which is great. I get that. But Mike Johnson is saying, and by the way, the White House is working to reverse that decision. Mike Johnson is saying, well, he worked really hard to get that in the bill. Why? Why would you work hard to do that when you're funding transgender policies by the millions of dollars and these late-term abortion facilities? Really, you were focusing your time on banning the gay pride flag? That makes no sense to me.
Well, it's probably the one thing that the Democrats and the left would relent on, knowing that, number one, the Biden administration would be working day and night to reverse that, and also knowing that they were getting every single thing else of consequence that they wanted. And, you know, I think the real question should be, look, we can every team that misses the touchdown pass or even the first down pass is criticized by their own members, and certainly that's due here as much as anything else. But let's not forget that the reason we're having these arguments, these disagreements, these discussions where we lose is that the other side doesn't agree with us at all, that the only thing that should fly over American embassies is the American flag. They don't agree with us at all that the border should be secure. They don't agree with us at all that we should try and not bankrupt the country. That's why we have these fights, because we have one half of the legislature that doesn't even acknowledge common sense and normalcy. They don't acknowledge it whatsoever. Now, that doesn't excuse the fact that we fail and that we're weak and don't get the job done. But, I mean, look what we're up against. We don't even get one or two of these people to come along with us. We get none of them.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now with Scott Perry, a congressman from Pennsylvania, member of the House Freedom Caucus. So all of this gets kicked down the road further to September. We are now funding the government at levels higher than when Nancy Pelosi was Speaker of the House. And you and I both know there's no way that they're going to allow the government to shut down right before the November elections. That's just not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. So what I think we ought to do is now, while the wound is fresh and everybody seems to love this spending level, let's see if we can lock them in until, I don't know, let's say March of next year, so we don't have to deal with a September impasse. And by March, we'll have a President Trump. Hopefully, we'll have a reinvigorated House with people that want to actually serve there to save the republic. And maybe we can win a few seats in the Senate and flip that thing over so that we can get some kind of a rollback in this out-of-control spending and a complete reversal of this out-of-control policy that the left has imposed upon us.
Let's assume that, and shockingly, that the Republicans do maintain control of the House. Is Speaker Johnson your guy, or do you guys have to go with somebody else?
Well, it's a little early to handicap that, especially if you don't know who else is in the race. But what I can tell you, Todd, is that we simply, on behalf of our constituents and, quite honestly, our oath to the Constitution and the country, cannot abide more of the same kind of judgment and decision-making that has led to the current position that we find ourselves.
I mean, he's making every decision he's made is a decision a Democrat speaker would make. That's my issue here, is I'm not seeing much of a difference. And that's I'm concerned that Paul Ryan and John Boehner are giving this guy advice.
Well, I don't know if they're giving them advice, but I did have to lament to our speaker that when I come into Washington on, Monday for votes, it's kind of very much reminiscent to me of the days when John Boehner was the speaker and you came in and Barack Obama was the president, and it seemed like there was nothing we were willing to stand up for our country for. There was no risk that we were willing to take. There was nothing we were willing to do to stop their agenda. And I do question some of my colleagues on my side of the aisle. I think to myself, and I've said this to them, what is it going to take before you will finally stand up and say, we are not going to do this anymore, and you just can't count on me to vote for anything until X? What is that? I need to know what that point is. I mean, we got a wide open border where I think that most of our law enforcement agencies are saying that it's not a matter of if we have a terrorist attack like 9/11. Now it's a matter of when. We've got 300,000+ dead Americans due to fentanyl coming across that border during the Biden administration. We've got prices that people can't afford based on this government. And we've got, Joe Biden and the left calling our former president and our future president a dictator when they're the ones that force people to accept experimental medicine into their bodies or suffer losing their jobs. They're the ones that are forcing us to buy certain vehicles and not allowing us to buy other ones. They are the ones that impose essentially a dictatorship on us. And I just don't know when all of my colleagues or enough of my colleagues are going to sense or understand or acknowledge the urgency of the issue. America, our values, the way the country was founded is under complete assault. And the time for half measures is long since passed.
Mm. All right, Congressman, got to leave it there. Always appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, sir. God bless you and your audience.
There you go, Congressman Scott Perry. And so Speaker Johnson, oh, my goodness. Wow. Very sad. Very sad. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. President Trump, of course, getting ready to name his vice presidential running mate. Who will that person be? The bigger question, who do you think it ought to be? And Newsmax is conducting a poll. They want to know. You can go and vote right now. Get out your smartphone and text the word SKIP, S-K-I-P, to 39747. Takes just a few seconds. They will send you a link to the poll. That's SKIP to 39747. President Trump wants to know your opinion so you can let your voice be heard. And this is how you can do it, by texting the word SKIP to 39747. We'll be right back. I was wondering why all of a sudden I was getting all this hate mail. I'm like, what did I say? So it turns out that Right Wing Watch it's a domestic hate group. These people are just really evil. And they hate Jesus. They hate conservatives. Zonia, they're very upset. I triggered these people. Week before last, when Trump was talking about how Jews who vote for Democrats must hate their religion. And I said, well, let's take it a step further. Well, anyway, here's what I said. Do you agree with President Trump there, that Jewish voters who continue to vote Democrat hate Israel and they hate their religion? Now, I want to go a step further. I want to suggest that Catholics and Protestants who vote for Democrats also hate Jesus and they hate their religion. If you are a Democrat right now, your political leaders hate Jews and they hate Christians. And the reason why they hate Jews and they hate Christians, they don't hate the Muslims, right? They leave the Muslims alone, but they love to target the Jews and the Christians. And here's the reason why. It's very simple. Because our founding documents are all flavored by the Judeo-Christian teachings, right? That's it in a nutshell. You see, Jews and Christians believe we are one nation under God. Democrats believe they are God. True. That's what's going on here. They don't like the competition, so they're trying to shove God out of the way. Anyway, they hate you. Jews, Christians, the Democrats hate you. And Trump is right. If you keep voting for Democrats knowing they hate you, you're a moron. Did he say that? No, I said that. You're a moron. Oh, is that it? Yeah, I agree with everything. Todd Starnes personally endorses the message that Todd Starnes just delivered there. Wow, yes. So anyway, Right Wing Watch posted this on its YouTube page and Twitter. And so I've got to read this to you because they slapped it with a content warning. This is what they wrote. Content warning. The following scene may include dehumanizing rhetoric, calls for discrimination or violence, misinformation, or other harmful language. Right Wing Watch condemns bigotry and other threats to democratic values. Oh, shut up, you morons. Anyway, Right Wing Watch, they're a part of the People for the American Way, which is really un-American. And they're out there attacking all of you Christians. Oh, this is great. Well, you know, it's a good day whenever you can trigger the people over at Right Wing Watch. All right. To Boston we go. Now, the black church-going people of Boston are now calling on all you honky churches, that would be churches of the Caucasian persuasion, to turnover reparations. They want reparations. Cut number 10.
We call on the white church in Boston to join us in supporting a black reparations movement.
Standing in solidarity, clergy leaders from across the city of Boston gathered for an interfaith, multiracial meeting at the Resurrection Lutheran Church in Roxbury, Union Square. They're here to ask the religious community to atone for black Boston suffering and support black reparations.
And we are coming, as Dr. King said, to get our check.
Organizers from the Boston People's Reparation Commission say they're also following up on their demand on the city of Boston for a $15 billion initial payout to begin the process towards repair and reconciliation to the city's black community.
$5 billion as initial payment around cash payouts, $5 billion around strengthening our financial institutions, creating a new black bank, $5 billion in terms of addressing issues of the education achievement gap between blacks and whites.
In 2022, the Boston City Council and Mayor Michelle Wu offered an official apology for the city's involvement in the transatlantic slave trade. She also launched two task force research teams to study Boston's role in slavery and its long impact on descendants.
So we still suffer from the trauma of those instances, and even today, dealing with racism.
On Saturday, this group called on the white church in Boston to support the black community for its association in slavery.
Today, we call upon this city, its financiers, and its white churches to stop the shirking, stop the lying, tell the truth, and pay what is owed.
Organizers say the next step is to engage in conversation with white church leadership directly.
So apparently, the reparations are also because white church choirs do not clap on the second and fourth beats, right? So you white people are going to have to pay for that. So how do you feel about this, ladies and gentlemen? Should white churches, as you just heard, should white churches be forced to pay reparations to the black churches? In other words, you are now responsible for whatever sins that were committed by your forefathers. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. I was watching Newsmax over the weekend. You remember that awful Katie Britt speech, the State of the Union rebuttal? So it turns out that a 17-year-old, actually, he was on Newsmax over the weekend, says that he co-authored her speech and actually gave her counsel. So the most important speech for Republicans was written by a 17-year-old. Okay. Oh, rock on, America. There you go. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Just a reminder that we are in the final week of our radiothon for Alliance Defending Freedom, and we sure do need your help to reach our goal. My annual campaign to support Alliance Defending Freedom, we wrap it up at the on Friday. And what a week, because tomorrow ADF is actually heading to the Supreme Court, and they need your help. So there is a Stand With ADF banner on ToddStearns.com, and you can help me support this very important organization. I want you to listen to ADF Vice President Matt Sharp.
Every dollar that you give enables us to take on another case. It could be a kid wanting to share their faith at school, or a nurse that doesn't want to be forced to participate in abortion. Those victories trickle across the country. And so when they donate, even how small, and they may say, how is this going to impact me? Well, ultimately, you're not only securing freedom for the person that we're representing, you're securing it for yourself, for your children and grandchildren that come after you, and ultimately moving our country towards one that protects every American's freedom to speak and live consistent with their beliefs and values.
All right, so here's the deal, folks. $100 or more, you are really going to be able to help Alliance Defending Freedom fight these critical court battles for men and women just like you and your neighbors, all the way to the Supreme Court tomorrow. ADF has 15 victories at the Supreme Court since 2011. That's huge. So again, click on the banner, ToddStearns.com, or you can just simply give them a call. That telephone number, 855-417-6556. That's 855-417-6556. So, by the way, a lot of people over at MSDNC, which is now undergoing a name change, MSRNC, they're very upset that Ronna McDaniel was hired. Ronna McDaniel making her first appearance over the weekend. Let's take a listen. Cut number one.
Let's dive right into this and start with your decision to step down as RNC chair. If you can, take me behind the scenes a little bit. Were you pushed out of your role?
Well, there's no question that as RNC chair, you have to remain neutral. And we had a primary process. And so we did have debates, right? We had debates and there was tension and a little friction that started during that process. It was well played out in the media. And I knew at that point when I was doing that role and we were going to have debates that when the nominee came forward and it was likely to be President Trump, that they would want to switch. And that's his right as nominee.
And so were you pushed out by him?
He absolutely wanted me to move aside and wanted Michael Whatley and Lara Trump to come in.
Well, if that's the case, thank you, Mr. President. God bless you, sir. Well done. So anyway, Ronna was on MSDNC over the weekend. Chuck Todd and others went bonkers. I want to play, though, first some audio from the Morning Schmo show where they were just offended that their employer did not consult with them first. Cut 29.
Hiring a former RNC chair, Ronna McDaniel.
Well, she was on Sunday's Meet the Press. It was her first appearance since the NBC and since NBC News hired her as a political analyst. I know you won't be surprised to know that we've been inundated with calls this weekend, as have most people connected with this network, about NBC's decision to hire her. We learned about the hiring when we read about it in the press on Friday. We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons, including, but not limited to, as lawyers might say, Ms. McDaniel's role in Donald Trump's fake elector scheme and her pressuring election officials to not certify election results while Donald Trump was on the phone.
To be clear, we believe NBC News should seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage. But it should be conservative Republicans, not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier. And we hope NBC will reconsider its decision. It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on Morning Joe in her capacity as a paid contributor. Here's why.
But to the question, though, do you disagree with Trump saying he's going to free those who've been charged?
I do not think people who committed violent acts on January 6th should be freed.
So you disagree with that? He's been saying that for months. Ronna, why not speak out earlier? Why just speak out about that now?
When you're the RNC chair, you kind of take one for the whole team, right? Now I get to be a little bit more myself, right?
Well, this is what you said a year ago to Chris Wallace. I want to play you what you said.
Are you saying, as the chair of the Republican Party, that you still have questions as to whether or not Joe Biden was duly elected president?
Joe Biden's the president.
No, I didn't ask you whether he's the president.
No, I don't think that. I think there were lots of problems.
Do you think he won the election?
I think there were lots of problems with 2020. Ultimately, he won the election.
Pardon?
But ultimately, he won the election, but there were lots of problems with the 2020 election. 100%.
And that's fair.
But I don't think he won it fair. I don't. I'm not going to say that.
So you didn't say he won it fair at that point. Can you say, as you sit here today, did Joe Biden win the election fair and square?
He won. He's the legitimate
did he win
president.
Fair and square?
Fair and square he won. It's certified. It's done. But I
Ronna,
do think,
why
Kristen,
is it taking
I,
you
let me
until
just say
now
something.
To say that. Why has it taken you until now to be able to?
Because
I'm
she's a liar.
I'm going to push back a little. Because I do think it's fair to say there were problems in 2020. And to say that does not mean he's not the legitimate
but Ronna,
president.
Okay. So anyway, Ronna McDaniel exposed the problem with the Republican Party right now. And it's the same problem with Mike Johnson, right? He tells you one thing, he does another. And the same thing with Ronna McDaniel. What a liar this woman was. And look, the problem is she either was lying. She's either lying now or she was lying when she was leading the RNC. Now, here's what a here's what a righteous person would have done. Let's just go back in time and say Ronna McDaniel is the RNC chair, and she's being told, hey, Ronna, you got to get out there and you've got to defend all of these J6 people. Now, if Ronna, in her heart of heart, truly believed that what those people did was wrong, and she in good faith could not stand up and defend those people, she should have stepped down right then and there. That would have been the honorable thing to do. That would have been the noble thing to do. But she didn't do that because she was getting a big fat paycheck, and she was having her hair done and her nails done. She was getting the manis and the petties and squandering the good donation dollars that were coming to the RNC from good-hearted American citizens. That's why. But again, she is exposing herself as a liar. And I'm glad that Donald Trump forced her out. She should have been gone a long time ago. A long time ago. Oh, by the way, I've got to play this audio here. Where is it? Oh, yes, here we go. This is Tim Burchett from East Tennessee. Cut number 8, please.
You are seeing the beginning of the end for the United States of America. Dadgummit, if you don't like the people in office, vote their asses out. I don't care if you play golf with them. I don't care if you go to church with them. Get them out of here. They are ruining your country. Don't let them come home and throw you the red meat and say, oh, I'm voting against this. I'm voting against that. That's a bunch of garbage. They are selling your country out for the Uniparty, for these national chambers of commerce that wreck every dadgum thing. Look, they want somebody on your roof that doesn't speak the language, that is not from this country, that is not here legally. Because you know what happens when they fall off? They kick their ass out. They throw them to the curb. They're in the emergency room. You and I are paying for their health care, and they don't give a damn about them one bit. And that's what these national chambers of commerce, that's what the Uniparty is. Write that in your dadgum newspapers. We've got to take our country back.
Woo-hoo! Dadgummit! Dadgummit! Woo-hoo! Get her done, dadgummit! He's got a point, right? There's always a point. There's always a point. All right, we've got an update on the crime situation. I'm just curious, how many of you people out there, you mayors, would embrace FedEx? Because if I'm reading between the lines here, they're not real happy with what's happening in Memphis, Tennessee right now. And it's funny, the leftist newspaper here, it's called the Daily Memphian. Man, do they hate conservatives. And these guys, they actually silence dissent. They'll turn off the comment sections on a lot of their stories. So anyway, they're in cahoots, the Daily Memphian, they're in cahoots with the public or taxpayer-funded TV station here and the taxpayer-funded radio station here, the NPR people. And so anyway, they were having a big panel discussion about crime, and it really is getting bad, so much so that people are just... I mean, a lot of people are moving away, and businesses are really looking at maybe going somewhere else, doing business elsewhere, because it's so violent in Memphis. I want you to hear, you're going to hear the voice of Richard Smith, who is the president and chief executive officer of FedEx. Cut 21.
I'm going to confess to some confusion here. We've asked specifically about this thing of people are going to leave Memphis because of the crime problem. Mm-hmm. And you've said that this is something that's pretty easily dealt with in terms of the prospects that you talk to, mm-hmm. that as long as they know we're trying to do something about it, it's really not that big of an issue for a company looking to come here. Mm-hmm. We did focus groups at the Daily Memphian, and the two folks who did the poll, Bev and Howard Robertson, said we talked to the focus groups. We didn't hear anyone say they were thinking about moving out of Memphis because of the crime.
Yeah.
And but crime is a concern among the people. But nobody we talked to is ready to throw in the towel and move to another place.
Well, I'm not sure who they talked to, but to come back to the question Eric answered, which will answer your questions, you asked me about my team members. We have seen team members who at FedEx who have moved further outside of Memphis and Shelby County. You know, these are taxpayers. These are people in, you know, high wage jobs in information technology or data analytics, finance, legal, a whole gamut of different fields that have opted to move out. And they cited crime as one of the reasons why. So that's what concerns me, right? And when I come out and make a comment like it's becoming untenable for our community, which I did in your paper, Sam Hardiman asked me for a quote about the letter. It is for some of those team members. They have expressed a lot of concern, and they've basically voted with their taillights because what they feel is when you see a district attorney and judges that are essentially letting bad actors back out. They're letting them, in some cases, set their own bail in terms of what they deem to be affordable. They're putting them back out on the street. Those law-abiding, tax-paying citizens, some of our team members, it's a big slap in the face to them. They basically feel like the DA and these judges that are doing this are saying, we don't care about the safety of you or your family. And they feel powerless. And the only thing they can do, because they can afford to do it, is vote with their taillights and leave.
And they are, by the way, that they absolutely are. So now you have, so that's happening in Memphis. Now you have in Minnesota, the attorney general there, Keith Ellison. So they've got, the crime there is just as bad. Again, Democrat-controlled city, Memphis, Democrat-controlled city. So now in Minnesota, they're going to go after, they've got a big problem with car thefts, right? People are either being carjacked or their cars are being outright stolen. So now, the attorney general says, we've got to crack down. And people are like, yes, but they're not cracking down on the criminals. They're cracking down on the automakers. Cut 25.
We've also got to go upstream. We've got to make sure that the automobiles are not so easy to steal so that they're a tempting, attractive nuisance for young people. And, you know, right now we are investigating two major automakers because their cars are dramatically too easy to steal for young people.
All right. So is that really the problem here, that it's too easy to steal a car? Is that really the problem, that we need to be going after the car makers? I'm just going to play the devil's advocate. Here's what I think ought to happen. I think there needs to be some sort of an anti-theft device installed on every single car in America, right? So as soon as the bad guy grabs the door handle, they're automatically electrocuted. I mean, there are like volts going through the body of the criminal. And then if the criminal is still standing, that there's a secondary anti-theft device, I don't know, that maybe shoots nails out, right, and just hits them right in the knees and like from the knees below. Now, let's just say that the car makers decide to do that, all right, because they don't want to be sued, right? They want to make it as hard as possible for you to be able to steal somebody's car. What do you think would happen? I'll tell you exactly what would happen. Well, we've got to file charges against Ford and Chevy and Hyundai. We got to file charges because they're racist. They're racist, and their people are getting electrocuted. You know exactly what would happen. Or maybe a baseball bat comes out and just starts whacking them on the kneecaps. That would be difficult because you have to install it in the car door itself. But I don't know, maybe that way, or when they get inside and they sit down, all of these nails just shoot up from the seat, right? And so all of a sudden, they have multiple orifices coming out of their wazoo. Wouldn't that be great? I'm just saying. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. Well, all right. A huge congratulations to our great President Donald Trump, who won the club championship trophy and the senior club championship trophy at Trump International Golf Club in West Palm Beach. That is a huge thing. First of all, it's a great course. It is a difficult course. And for the president to get out there and to blow away the competition, well done, Mr. President. He says that the qualifying and match play was amazing. A large and distinguished group at the gathering there to commemorate the celebration. Anyway, Joe Biden decides to troll Donald Trump. And in a very rude way on his social media page, he says, "Congratulations, Donald. Quite the accomplishment." Okay. This is coming from a president who cannot even walk up a flight of stairs. I mean, come on, really? Do better, Joe Biden. Do better. Folks, again, very excited about Twilight's Last Gleaming. Can America Be Saved? Tomorrow, we're going to start taking calls from some of you. I've already been getting your messages. I've gotten a couple of cards already from you who have read the book, and we're getting 5-star ratings on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And we want to hear from you if you've had a chance to read the book and to get your impressions. One of the things that a guy came to me at church yesterday and said what he really appreciated about it, there's a chapter that outlines why America is a Christian nation. And I go through and I provide all of the evidence from our founding fathers. And he's actually buying a couple of copies for the grandkids. So again, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Head over to our website. I'd love to autograph, personalize a copy just for you. And you can do that by clicking on our store. All right, folks, been a great day. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, you'll be able to watch me on Newsmax. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.